This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Today's show is about science fiction. We're going to have spaceships, cool high-tech gizmos, virtual reality, a high-stakes world where everything hangs in the balance unless we try this one crazy idea that might just be crazy enough to work. Actually, that sounds kind of corny, right? Everybody knows that good science fiction is grim. Technology out of control, democracy hopeless, the world a mess. Movies like Blade Runner, The Matrix, Children of Men, and more recently The Hunger Games and Divergent.
It's so easy to make money with a tale that says civilization is garbage, our institutions will never be helpful, your neighbors are all useless sheep who could never be counted on in a crisis.
David Brin is a science fiction writer who thinks we've gotten way too fond of speculative technological bummers.
Now, enjoy a couple of characters running around shooting things and having adventures in the middle of a dystopia.
Dystopias aren't cool? That's pretty much heresy in science fiction. But people are starting to agree with him, such as Neal Stephenson, the author of Cryptonomicon. In his fiction, he tends to explore the dark sides of technology, but then, a couple of years ago, he got a public wake-up call.
I was at a conference sharing a stage with Michael Crow, who's the president of Arizona State University.
Stephenson was complaining, there are no big scientific projects to inspire people these days. The president of Arizona State shot back, you're the one slacking off, and by you, he meant science fiction writers like Neal Stephenson.
I had always kind of imagined that in that chicken and egg relationship that science fiction kind of followed after what the engineers were doing. But Michael insisted that it was that the engineers were ready to go. They had the tools, they had the willingness, and that the science fiction writers were no longer pulling their weight by supplying compelling visions of things for the engineers to build.
And as you were hearing him say that, did you sort of feel, yeah, I'm a bit guilty as charged?
I am guilty as charged. I mean, my best-known books, Snow Crash and The Diamond Age, depict kind of classically cyberpunk visions of the future that most people would recognize as dystopian. So I'm kind of exhibit A
yeah.
of this phenomenon.
From that argument, Neal Stephenson and Michael Crow started the Center for Science and the Imagination at Arizona State. And Stephenson created another group called Project Hieroglyph, which recruits science fiction authors to write more optimistically about the future.
I guess I had never maybe given science fiction writers enough credit as being leaders of innovation. I'm still skeptical that they are.
Right.
And that's essentially what Michael Crow and I were arguing about.
Well, and one could argue, if one were arguing for the other side, that part of the problem is writers reacting to the present moment. You know, there's climate change challenge, the increasing inequality and acceptance of inequality and all the rest. I mean, it's easy to extrapolate the bad to 50 or 100 or 200 years from now.
It takes a lot of work to imagine in a constructive way. And you're almost doing a kind of proto-engineering when you try to design a building or a city or a vehicle of the future that's innovative in some sense. You're not doing real engineering, which is very expensive and requires actual engineers. But
right. You're doing kind of still a rendering.
Yeah, yeah.
So if some science fiction writer approaches you and says, I want to contribute a story to Project Hieroglyph, what are the rules? Are they required to consult with engineers and scientists like you've done?
They don't have to. We think it's cool if they do, and it suggests that they're on the right track. It's writers tend not to do terribly well with rules, so mm-hmm. the general principles we laid down were no hyperspace, no holocausts, and no hackers. That's the third one.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
geez, coming from you, that's a real apostasy.
Yeah.
The entertainment industry's got a job to do as well. Commander Chris Hadfield served on the International Space Station. He wants to see movie studios and game designers use their arsenals of special effects to depict fewer explosions and more realism. such as the Oscar-winning film Gravity.
What we do as astronauts all the time is simulate space flight. We practice so that when we actually get to go do it, when you go do a spacewalk or do something complex, you're not numbed or overwhelmed by the difficulties and the complexity, but you've simulated it well. And so I think it may just be almost in the raw visualization capability now of seeing what it's going to look like to walk around on Mars, that you maybe don't have to trip over so many obstacles along the way. That is the real stuff of dreams, and that's where invention comes from.